You ever get there where you're just going and not really taking time to reflect? And that's a dangerous way to live. I mean, we want to make sure that we're given time. I mean, even if you got to get up earlier or go to bed a little later or get away from everybody for a little while or whatever you need to do, you need to get away, you know, at times to spend some time with God and just appreciate Him. You know, I notice a lot of prayers oftentimes can be asking God for something. I think it's really awesome for us to just take time to say thank you to God. You know, do we ever thank Him for the trials that we have to go through? Do you ever do that? It's all part of our refining process. I don't like the trials as much as the victories. I love to finish things. I love to see things getting finished. But, you know, I figured it out. The Christian walk is something that we're not actually going to see the finish until we step into glory with Jesus. So we shouldn't wait until then to say thank you, because there's so much that He's doing in our lives right now. He wants us to properly, you know, view the Christian walk. And we're in a race. We've got, you know, we're racing to the finish line. And this one isn't necessarily a competitive race. This is just a let's make sure we finish type of race, right? And is it a sprint? Not really. For most of us, it's a distance race, right? And so in a distance race, as we pace ourselves, we need encouragement. And that's going to be kind of the way that we're going to view the scripture today a little bit. We're going to be dealing with Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so we're going to read those two verses there, and we're going to kind of break them down and take a look at how God wants to encourage us this morning. So if I could ask you to, if you're able to stand for the reading of the scripture this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for finishing for us, that there would be the way that we could be reconciled to the Father in heaven. It wasn't that you were looking at the cross saying that you were looking forward to the pain of the cross. In fact, we have many examples that show us that wasn't the case, especially in the Garden of Gethsemane, whenever you prayed to your Father three times, saying, if there's any other way, let this cup pass by. You knew it was the cup of the wrath of your Father that was going to be poured out on sin, and that you were going to take the brunt of it. You were going to experience it. Even though you're perfectly sinless, you're the only one that could actually take that punishment and it not forever condemn you, because you were guiltless. And so you could actually be there as a substitute, paying the price for us, the sacrifice. Thank you that it wasn't that you just enjoyed pain. It wasn't that you just enjoyed suffering. You weren't just taking on a martyr's complex there and living that out in some kind of sadistic sort of a way, but instead you were doing it for the joy that was set before you. And that's why you endured that. Endured means you finished. And so, Lord, we're in a race that can sometimes be a little painful for us. We need that example. We need to follow that example. We need to look at the joy that's set before us. And so help us, Lord, to keep that in mind. Help us to not only run this race to finish, and to finish well. But let us run this race and enjoy portions of the process as you help us grow and get closer to the finish line. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't run this race alone either. You're the one strengthening us. You're the one encouraging us. You're the one who's telling us how to run it. You're the one to be our example, and you've sent some ahead of us for us to look at as well. Thank you, Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody can have a seat. And as we look at this, first thing that we do to prepare for a race is to not take things that are going to weigh us down. We need to lighten up a little bit. You know, I use that term sometimes to mean, you know, have a little more joy, right? We can stand to have a little more joy, but we can also remember that we shouldn't carry things along with us that we don't need to carry. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. I think it's really important that as we look at these verses, that we want to look at the testimony of the Old Testament witnesses that came before us. And so, you know, we just got through reading a chapter. It's called the Hall of Faith. And it showed a lot of names of people that finished their race well. And so we can look to them and know that by faith they're with the Father right now. And do you know people in your own life that finished well? Maybe they've gone on to be with the Lord now. Can you name some of those off in your mind right now and think about them? As you go further down the road as well, you know, that number continues to increase. Because other people around us are finishing their race. You know, one that was hard for me at first was my brother-in-law, Scott, Shelley's brother. He was like my best friend in the world. And I actually had the privilege of being the one to pray with him whenever he came to the Lord and gave his heart to Jesus. And then just, you know, a few short years later, he wound up coming down with colon cancer that was in advanced stages and had affected his liver and everything. And God didn't totally cure him this side of heaven as we had hoped and prayed, but he did cure him. He's cured of it now. He fought about a three and a half year battle, and then he passed on and he went to be with the Lord. At first, it was very difficult for me because, like I say, I mean, I was very close to him. He was still fairly young, and as I just thought about it and took it before the Lord and just asked him, you know, in ways, you know, what all of that might have meant, I realized that in a way it was a blessed thing because Scott got to finish his race before me. He started after me, but he finished before me, and that's going to happen sometimes. But you know what? I look forward to being reunited with him someday. And he finished well. That part was almost more important than the length of days, was that he got to finish well. Remember, we talked about finishing well, and that's the way it is with these races, this race of life that gets us to the end, and the finish line is to stand before Jesus and to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That needs to be our goal. And so when we think about those witnesses, that this cloud of witnesses, there's many witnesses. A lot of times that word witness, if we look at that first slide, if you kind of follow along with me, I'll say the title to the slide, and you just kind of go to that one with me. So looking at the testimony of the Old Testament witnesses. So when we're thinking about witnesses, they're there. And sometimes we think, well, we need to do it because they're watching us. And I hear that a lot. And I don't know. I'm a little bit differing on opinion on that one. I think that if you're beholding the face of God, you're totally like focused on Him at that point. I really don't think that you're just sitting there, you know, necessarily distracted by a whole lot of other things, because God is so awesome. And I think that everybody is worshiping Him together that see His face. But another way that we can view this word on the next slide. It's martis, which is a noun. It's actually the root word for martyr. And martyr means witness. And witness can mean somebody that's observing But I think even more importantly, if you look at it being used, the very same word in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, toward the disciples before Jesus went back, and this also includes us, those who would come after them, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So when he uses that word witness, he's not saying go and observe all the people, is he? He's saying go there and be one who is an example. So that's how they are to be a witness of him. And so we have a great cloud of witnesses of people who have finished. And they finished well. And it should inspire us and encourage us in our days when we think, "Lord, I don't know if I can finish," to remember by his grace we can. Because they have, and so we shall be. Amen? So as we look at that and we think about that they have gone on before us, we got to remember that finishing the race is what matters most of all. You know, not just starting the race. Anybody can start a race, right? But it's the ones that finish that count. And so, therefore, I think that we need to make sure that we let our heroes be saints that have finished well. This is an important one, because I don't know if you've watched, but many people can start off, you know, whenever the bang goes off to start the race, many people can start off with a bang, and they can start off really strong, and they can boast of great things. But how many people that have taken really public positions on the faith have also come to very dramatic disasters because of moral failure and things, bad choices, and some even denounce the faith further down the road? And so whenever they did that, people that were idolizing them or trying to make them their heroes, oftentimes their faith can become somewhat shipwrecked as well. So I want to encourage you, make sure that you make your heroes be ones that you have seen have finished well. So in essence, with the exception of Jesus, your main heroes probably need to be people that have already died and gone on to the Lord, be with the Lord. John Piper, one time I heard him, just a quick quote from him, he said, "Let your heroes be dead guys." It's kind of an interesting statement. And so he preached a whole sermon on how that's the only way you can be sure that they actually finished well. So you can follow some of their examples along the way, that people that are living, as long as they're really following Christ. But when they depart from following Christ, you better not follow them. Whenever they're out dancing around in territory where they can't really show you in the Bible why they're there, don't follow them. Make sure that you're really looking to those to be your example that have finished well. You know, no one gets in a marathon and picks up a big backpack full of rocks to run it either, do they? Go, "Okay, I'm going to put this on. Okay, I'm ready." No. I was really hoping Norman Forbes would just happen in today. I kind of prayed about that. How many of you guys know Norman? There's a few of you guys know Norman. Norman's... He's a great guy. I think he's from Honduras originally. He's an American. I think I got that right. But anyway, he runs. In fact, if you leave early enough in the morning, go south on 21, a lot of times, rain or shine, whether it's cold or warm, you see a guy running up the hill on 21. And if you see a guy running up the hill, you can almost rest assured it's probably Norman Forbes. And he gets his good run in, and then he runs in this marathon that's even longer than a normal marathon. Most marathons are like 26 miles, give or take a little. His is 32. And you know what he told us whenever he was here for men's breakfast not too long ago? He said, "There's many that start, but I'm the only one that finishes." And he's 56 years old. I don't know, but that really stuck in my mind. There's many that start, but I'm the only one that finishes. Let's finish this one together. Let's make sure we all finish this one, okay? It's going to call for the endurance of the saints. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to hit pitfalls. We're going to, you know, we may even have some injuries along the way. We may fall out for a little while, but let's get back in and let's make sure we finish all the way, okay? All the way to the finish line. God will help us do it. He's going to be our strength. That's why I believe in the perseverance of the saints. I believe that a saint will persevere to the end because I believe that God never leaves his, and he's always going to strengthen us. But guys, I think that it's best that we cooperate with him, don't you think? It's going to be a lot better race if we're cooperating with him. If we're saying, Lord, you're going to help me finish, but I'm going to drag all this unnecessary garbage along with me, that's going to make your race a lot tougher, don't you think? So I think that it would be wise for us to listen to the scripture today because this is a directive. This is a command. In verse 1, looking at it again, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we talked about that cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And I used to think that the weight was the sin. But if you notice, it has a comma there. So first it says, let us lay aside every weight, comma, and the sin. Do you know there's some weight that isn't actually necessarily sin, but we need to get rid of everything that weighs us down and keeps us from running this race as light as we can. So you need to get rid of everything that's not necessary, especially the sin. So it might be good to start with the sin. It's pretty easy to tell. You know, some things are just downright sinful. Let's get rid of them because all they're going to do is make you feel guilty, weigh you down, cause you to be needing to be retaught all the time, disciplined. But it'd be so much better if we just agree with God and we say, okay, you said that's bad. I'm not going to frolic in that. We'll let that go. We'll just start there. Let's go with the low-hanging fruit, the stuff that's easy to figure out. Might be hard to get rid of, but we'll let God help us with that. But we'll start there, and then we'll also remember that there's other weights that we carry along. Let's think about this one a little bit. Let's ponder this one a little bit. We're going to take a little bit of time here, and we're going to think about this. Every weight that you might be carrying that's unnecessary. Do you ever carry the guilt for another person? Can you do that? Can you maybe sometimes take on the responsibility that really belongs to somebody else and kind of almost like own it yourself? And man, if only they would change, and I just don't understand why they won't, and you just worry about them all the time, and you just, you know, you're just all tied up in a knot over it. Do you really think God wants you to do that? In fact, he says, fret not, it only leads to evil. So maybe that's one of the weights that you might need to get rid of. I don't know. Do you ever carry the weight of a particular situation that you wished it hadn't have been that way, but there ain't no way you're going back and changing it? Do you think God really wants you carrying that weight? Maybe it was something bad you did. Maybe it was something bad that you've done. Man, you just wish if you could only go back a year, 6 months, or 60 years. You know, for people, there's some people been dragging along this weight that just goes on and on and on for many years. Here's the thing, guys. Once you've been forgiven, you need to let it go. If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm going to personalize it. Because it's for us. We may need to remember it so that we don't fall into it again, but you don't need to remember it because God's somehow going to bring it up again. He says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far as he removed our transgression from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far that he's taken our sin away from us. It's gone. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Now the question is, if you've been forgiven and if you've been cleansed, if we are faithful, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and cleansed from all unrighteousness. If you've been cleansed, can you now let go of it so you're not dragging the weight? I think it's really time for some of us to get rid of some of the extra weight, because it's dragging us down to where we're just having the hardest time finishing our race. It's making it so difficult for us. And let go of the sin. You know, sometimes it's the fact that we can't forgive ourselves for past sin that causes us to fall into it again. Let God forgive you, and then you need to let it go. You need to live in victory, and you need to start looking forward. Did you notice that the marathon runner never runs like this? That isn't how they're going to run the race, guys. They're looking ahead. And that's the last part of that in verse 2 as well. You see, we get rid of anything that's not necessary, especially sin. And then we need to look where? We need to look to the finish line. And I'm going to tell you who's... Did you ever see one of those marathons? Have you ever actually watched a marathon? I mean, actually, in the middle, they're pretty boring. I've tried. But usually I used to tune into it because I was kind of interested by this stuff. And you'd see like the Boston Marathon, and there'd be like thousands of people start, you know, they'd go boom, and everybody just run into each other. And I always kind of laugh. It's like they got all these people congested trying to get started. Okay, and then you'll see them ever so often, you know, they'll take these camera angles at different checkpoints during the race, because it's a long race. And as they're going past these different checkpoints, there'll be people waiting there for them to cheer them on. Give them a drink. Encourage them a little bit. Come on, man, you're doing good. Step it up. You're on pace. They're talking to them. They're encouraging them along the way. But ultimately, when they come around the last turn, those that are actually going to finish, they're not looking at anything but the finish line. And you know, everything shifts at that point. Those people that were at these checkpoints along the way, they get it, they get up there fast. They usually drive in cars and stuff. But the dude that's running or the lady that's running, you know, they want to hurry up and get to the finish line early and wait. And they're watching for their loved one to round the last corner. And as soon as they see him, they step out into the open and they start saying, "Come on. Come on, you're almost there. Just run a little bit harder. Come on, you can do it." You know what? When you're around that last corner, I want you to be looking at Jesus. You don't have to wait till the last day. Let's just start doing it now. Because that's what it tells us to do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He didn't just finish it on the cross. He's going to help us finish it too. You see, he gives you a faith that has a start and a beginning. He's the one who helps us finish. He's already paid the price. And now he's standing at the finish line saying, "Come on. You're going to make it. It's going to be good." There's a lot to be done while you're still running your race, too. There's your family, your loved ones, those around you, your neighbors. There's all these other people, and we're saying, "Come on, join us. Let's go. Let's go together." You know, he wants us to strive. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, he said. Striving, pushing forward, giving it our all as we near that finish line. I love the way that he shows us the example, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There's going to be some that are going to shame you. They're going to say, "You're wasting your time. Why would you do that? Why are you putting all your energy into that? What's wrong with you? Why don't you just live in the debauchery that the rest of the world's living in? That's where real joy is." And we say, "You don't even know what you're talking about." We despise that shame. We push it off to the side and we keep looking at Jesus, because you know what? He didn't waste his time. And if you're following him, you're not wasting your time either. They told him the same thing. So as he despised the shame, let's do the same. And he has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know what? When we pass in, we're going to be in his presence. And it's going to be so worth whatever we got to go through to get there. So you just keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So back to that whole marathon idea. Just remember, there's more that start than finish. Don't let that discourage you. You just keep going. You keep your eye on the finish line. You know, the runners, they plan to run light. Do you ever see them show up? They're not running in like the heaviest clothes that they can find and a pair of the heaviest boots or whatever. You know, they got special shoes for it and everything. They run light. Runners don't look back. And you know what? There's always these loved ones waiting for them at the finish line. We've got that as well. I want you to imagine finishing, and it's like we run, and the finish line is this huge, you know, stadium full of all the believers that have passed on before us, and we get to run right in as they cheer us in. Won't that just be awesome? I like to envision that in my mind. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I'm not trying to get too carried away with my imagination, but it helps me some days whenever I get discouraged to think it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it, whatever we got to go through. And we just need to keep our eyes on Jesus and let him be our greatest encouragement. Because you know what? Jesus is our example. He's our example. Jesus is our example. He's waiting at our finish line with all the saints who passed on before us. They're there too. Not only that, Jesus is our finisher. He's going to make sure we get there, guys. There's some things I'm really looking forward to whenever I get there. Just looking forward to being in his presence. But you know what? We get to enjoy his presence now. Isn't it awesome that he didn't say, well, you know, that's all you get. You get that promise, and you just got to, you got to tough through it. You need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get there. That ain't how he said it. He's over here the whole time, having sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, encouraging us daily if we only agree to meet with him. Isn't that amazing? And no matter how tired you get, you remember his words? Come to me, all you who are weary, right, and heavy laden, and you will find rest. Isn't that beautiful? For his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. You know why his yoke is easy? It's not because there's nothing to do. It's because he's in it. It has two spots in it. We're going to go together. Isn't that awesome? These are not just suggestions. This is his word. It's command for us. So let's seek to finish. Let's lighten up. Get rid of any burden that's dragging us down. Only take the burdens that he gives us as we carry it with him. Because his burden is light. His yoke, he's there. Let's get with him. Let's go with him. Let's work with him. Let's not work for him. Let's work with him. And then we'll finish together. He's the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come to this time of the service, this is a wonderful challenge. This is the one that says, come to me. This is when you say, just come to me, child. If anybody's weary and heavy laden, it's going to be awful hard to finish a race like that. And Jesus said, if that's where you're at, just come to me. put my yoke upon you. He wants to help carry the load with us. Praise God. We have the God of the universe saying, come to me. I pray that if there's burdens and weights that we should not be carrying anymore, that we'd be willing to lay them down. We only take upon us what you intend for us. Help us finish well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.